Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Real Intuition Reading Psychic Hour. Well, it's 9 a.m. Pacific Time, which we'll see if it proves to be a productive hour for us. 914-914-338-0166. What did I just say? 914-338-0164. I got distracted by my own text. One caller, stupid eye. What did I write? Trying to manage the chat as well as speak at the same time. It's difficult for me. Multitasking. We do have a caller in the queue, 630, who we're going to be getting to shortly. What else do we have to announce? Anything?
No, let's get to the caller.
The man, the iron lung, died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old was he?
78 years old. I can't imagine. Polio is a really horrible epidemic, but can you, I mean, to be paralyzed like that and then live in that cylinder? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Well, he had almost a full life.
Well, he was able to, they said, leave the, he did have a pretty full life. I mean, life expectancy for males at one time was about 78 years old.
Yeah.
Now it's higher, I think, but he was able to use to leave the iron lung for brief periods of time. He got his college, high school degree, then became a bankruptcy lawyer.
Oh, really? So he was able to move around?
Not really. I mean, he was stuck pretty much in the iron lung.
And he became a lawyer?
Yeah, he became a bankruptcy attorney. He was able to draw. He did this all from his iron lung. Like I said, he could move, I mean, leave brief periods of time, but basically was confined to this. And he was paralyzed from the neck down.
You want to know their birth date, see where the endurance and the strength comes from.
Well, he was 78 years old. Paul Alexander, I think it has his birth date somewhere, birth date. 146. Ah, 130-46. Well, you can see where his problems are too. 3-4, 14. He was a 24-6. So he didn't have a 9 or anything. Yeah, going. It was his master number and then his transcendence in the 6.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
But the 0, you know, obviously probably got a long life or full life. Long life. And a full life. He had a full life, Hata, our chatter's asking. I mean, to be able to accomplish all that while being not only paralyzed but confined in a contraption like an iron lung is pretty remarkable. So he had a good attitude, positive, all that. Okay, let's bring on 630.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't even never heard of the iron lung. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Well, we can't understand you. So that's...
No.
It's really like there's a lot
hard
of...
to hear.
Static.
How about
yes.
now?
But are you on a headset?
I have my one ear pod in. I can take it out.
Yeah, please. This headsets aren't good.
How about like now?
You're on speaker. It's better. Let's see if I can turn it up. Talk again. 12573.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. 1, 2. Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So we left off on Fridays with, I went to the office to get a paper about the complaint or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know really what to say, because I know it's going to go into the file, it's going to be permanent, and I don't want to have problems either. So I've been avoiding the neighbors, and luckily, this is going to sound weird, but I was at the dentist yesterday because my cheek was like, it's like inflamed. So I thought I had a tooth problem, and they ended up putting me on like steroids and saying stay away from people for 5 days just because that's a respiratory thing. And they wanted me to isolate for 5 days. I'm like, oh, that is so convenient right now because I'm avoiding people anyway. I just don't want to have any problems. I was very startled on Friday when I was accused of something. And, yeah, the lady did say no, that wasn't true, but I don't want to take blows like that. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, do you want to talk about the video and stuff? And, like, because I watched the video. Do you want feedback or no?
I mean, I whipped out the video because I knew, okay, so what happened was is when I walked up to the gazebo, the three neighbors were sitting in there. And Julie put her hand up, like, stop, like, to them to stop talking. And so it was just shocking for me to be accused of assaulting somebody. They didn't say assault. What they said was, is I jumped on Julie two times. I jumped Julie
I know.
Twice.
Right, they're using jumped on, like, there you jumped on her, like you know, verbally assaulted her, not physically, and they're just using the terminology differently. But do you want feedback or not? I mean, that's the question. Do you want feedback on that or not feedback?
Well, the result of that was, is either way, Julie said that it wasn't true in the video. And then
I
kept filming.
Yeah, but I'm asking if you want feedback on the video from a third perspective of a third party.
I mean,
do
not
you
really. All no. I need to know is what to report to the office about.
Well, I wouldn't use the video. I wouldn't use the video. That's what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't use the video. I mean, if they're saying that you attacked her, the office can find out from Julie herself that you didn't attack her. I don't think the video does you any favors because I don't think the video does you any favors watching the video. So you don't
want. I understand. I mean, I was, but at the same time, like I was, like, I taken by surprise. They caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting to walk in to a snake pit, you know? And the reality is like, I get it. They don't like me here because I'm young and because, like, you know, they either have dementia or I make them accountable for their lives, but I can't be the target of their unhappiness anymore. Like, I have to save myself. You know what I mean? Like, at least put all of that to a very bare minimum. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to have issues here because I'm not doing anything wrong. So they're doing things to provoke me. Either way, they meant the word jump. If it wasn't for the fact that I protected myself with the video and questioning Julie, I mean, they wouldn't even let me talk to Julie. They were just putting words and ideas in Julie's mouth. So Ron and Kathy, obviously, this is how they work over here. So I got to stay away from everybody. And, you know, like, I'll talk to people here and there. I'm not going to be a curmudgeon. But as you know how difficult it was for me to stay in here, I can't have somebody be the reason to cause me problems to get out of here. I'm doing everything to stay here, and that's why they're trying to provoke me because they know they don't catch me on anything. I'm not doing anything wrong. Even if I did remove a piece of paper from the community bulletin board, who cares? It was a piece of paper, and it was up there for weeks. But I did not remove it. But I'm just saying, even if I did, I mean, it doesn't matter. First it was the Christmas tree. Now it's the bulletin board. Then it was Julie. They're just going to keep going. She told me. She told me that. She said, if you want to be happy living here, then basically stay off the third floor, remember? They'll lie to get you out of here. And that's what she's doing.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you didn't turn in the form that you filled out. I said, wait until the show. And now you're saying, I don't think I should do it at all, which is probably.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm calling the show to find out what's the best way to handle it. No, I do want to fill it out. I don't know
how to fill it out
where it'll be effective.
Well, you're saying it's going to be on your record, and you don't know if you want it to be on your record if you've made a complaint.
No, I want it. On Friday, you told me to file a complaint. It's going in my file, but the office will legitimately contact Kathy or Ron or anybody else and sit with them and talk to them to help resolve it, because they don't want this going on over here either, because it's not good for all the energy over here. Everybody walks around miserable because now we can't get together. Because I'm like, no, I can't take the chance of running into these people because they're targeting me. So I don't want to be a target. So I'm just going to be like, you know, not go to the gazebo or whatever. So I'll just walk down the street. I need to lose weight anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, aren't you the activities director?
I told them that I wasn't going to do any activities because I get I find out about my surgery on Monday, and I'm not going to be able to do any activities. The last activity I had was egg coloring, and I gave the kit to Helene, and Judy took over.
On a hiatus.
I just took a hiatus.
So you'll go back
to
it.
I'm not going to anything. What?
Right. But you'll go back to doing that once you're healed, right?
If as long as things change and I'm not being targeted, something's got to change. Otherwise, they're just going to keep targeting me. Like the other day, Ron, I never see him. He was walking back and forth past my patio, smoking his pipe, which he's not supposed to be doing, and shaking his head no, and, like, brought the property manager over. There's nothing on my patio but, like, oh, my God, Neil's on my patio. The Doberman's ashes with an angel. I just have them on the patio. And two pieces of AstroTurf for Cupid to go outside. On the patio.
So he was you're trying to figure out why Ron was walking by smoking a pipe, which he probably shouldn't be smoking in common areas by your patio anyway. And then you said a maintenance man came over. I don't know. This is like.
No, Ron came by twice with one of the property managers. I believe I saw Jess. I have a Ring camera facing my car. Because, you know, Asheville actually has a high crime rate, okay, which I didn't realize. But, like, on my Ring camera, I belong to the neighbor's notification. And so, like, they'll show, like, people walking up to parked cars to open them. And they're, like, within 1.5 miles from here. Like, the neighbors post, like, people's faces and stuff that are trying to break into cars. And so I have your Ring camera on my car.
Okay, to protect your car. I got
it. Yeah, not like you can't see in anybody's apartment. It literally just faces my car, and the lady who parks next to me, she knows that I have it because it's watching her car too. And behind us is no parking zone, so I'm not invading anybody's privacy. I'm not staring. I'm not being creepy. I'm literally just protecting my car, and that's it. Like, yeah. I don't even have a cover on it right now because I had to throw the old one out. But anyway, my intention is just to basically let the leasing office know that, you know, it's fine that, you know, like, there's no common ground between me and the neighbors, but at the same time, I feel like they're provoking me to try to get me to do something. They're like triggering me, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, I'm just going to avoid all of that because I don't want to have another day like I had on Friday. That greatly upsets me. I've been working on myself really hard, not hard, but you know what I'm saying, like to not offend people and, you know, just kind of stay out of the way. I'm not looking to take over the whole community, but they're like blaming me for all the changes over here. Yeah, I contributed to some of them, but collectively, this is what that was warranted. They're just mad because they're not in control of me, and they don't need to be. I don't need that. They want to run this place like a prison camp. It's a community. It's an apartment building.
Well, you know, I mean, you have a built-in karma of conflict throughout your life. So you're used to fighting battles and you're used to being persecuted and, I mean, or being accused, harassed. It isn't uncommon in your life. So you have a certain karmic element there. I mean, ideally, you would have a discussion with a good moderator who could listen to both sides and keep everybody in charge and control and find a healthy solution, because you're not going to find it on your own. And if you're restricting your lifestyle to accommodate your acceptance, that's not really a healthy solution. I mean, it's a solution, but it's not a healthy one. So if there's somebody who could preside over a conversation, an exchange of opinions and thoughts, and reach a healthy conclusion that everyone agrees to and put it in the book of records, that would be the ideal thing to do, Dion.
So this is the thing. I mean, you don't want to go over the video, but I have questions because the lady at the end of the video with the clipboard was saying her role is what? What's her role?
That's the property manager. So
yeah. Okay. She's the property manager. And she came over at the end of that video and she looked unhappy about what was going on in that gazebo. She wasn't happy.
It was bad.
I know, but you have to, Dion, I don't doubt at all that these Ron and Kathy people are nasty and Ron looks like a jerk on the video. But because you're so upset on the video, I mean, you're upset because you're being attacked and your perception, you don't want my opinion, but I'm forced to give it if we're going to discuss this matter and having a mediator, because what she needs to do is fill out a complaint. So she sent me the complaint by email that she had originally filled out, and it was too, I said, just state the facts. If you want to file a complaint, state the facts. Now, I don't know if they're going to moderate fairly the people that are in the office. I don't know, because historically they haven't been very fair, the office staff, you know, taking down your Valentine's Day decorations, which I don't know. The way that they lagged on processing your application. I mean, it's kind of a dysfunctional place from management down, you know. So that's part of the problem, too.
How long is the video?
It's like, I don't know, what, 7 minutes, 8 minutes?
Well, I'd like to see it. I didn't see it.
I think you did.
Yeah, it was. I was on hold for your show, and I walked outside. And I was going to go sit in the gazebo. But when I walked up, Julie put her hand up to stop. And then that's when I noticed when I walked in. I didn't walk in. I just stood at the door. Julie was sitting there. Kathy was sitting there. Ron was sitting there. And they said, it only takes – and I said, Kathy, I said, Julie, just so you know, because I wanted to say right in front of Kathy, I said, I did not touch her stuff. I did not touch your card. I was finishing the conversation. because they made a big deal about it the night before. And I said, I know Kathy said that I took it down, but I didn't do it. I wanted to let you know that. And Kathy said, it only takes 3 complaints to get you out of here. 1, 2, and 3. And she pointed to each one of them. Then you came on the phone, and I said, I'm having a dispute with my neighbors. And so you put me back on mute. Or no. I whipped out my phone to get on the video to start filming because I knew right away this was going to be like I just walked into a trap. And I started videoing Julie when she was talking. And so, like, I was talking into the phone, which did make me very loud. But, yes, what I should have done was backed away and acted more calmly, but I felt like fight or flight at that moment. Then Gary came with the property manager after Ron started yelling at me and Kathy took off. But, and then the lady did school us and tell us if we can't get along, she's going to start writing lease violations.
Right,
and
I heard
Kathy
that.
Came back and she came back and told Kathy. By then, I came back, was able to call your show. And, no, you can tell me your feedback about the video, but you have to also understand that, like, I was shaken up at that moment because I've been doing over here.
Yeah.
I even dressed up as the Easter Bunny for them. Like, I don't know what else I could do.
No, it's not that. Dion. Okay, we have another caller, too. 562, we just want to let you know that we're going to get to you shortly, very shortly. But it isn't wrong that you were upset that they had accused you of something that made it sound like you physically attacked someone, which you didn't do. So that's the basis for what we're talking about. But the problem is, and I said to you when we were on Messenger, I said, it looks like Julie's operating on half a brain cell. And you said, well, she just had brain surgery. So the problem is Julie is so passive and you're coming at her in such a manner that it looks like you're intimidating her. Whether or not you physically jumped on her or not, you trying to get an answer out of her, I mean, it was very aggressive. And so the office is going to perceive that as you being aggressive towards Julie, whether it's physically aggressive or verbally aggressive.
I'll take a look at the video.
Okay, so then you can take a look at the video.
I think what you need is a conference.
Well, I don't know if she's going to get a conference. I mean, she has to fill out a complaint, and I said what to do is state the facts. I was accused by – this has been an ongoing issue where I've been harassed by Ron and Kathy, culminating in an incident where I was accused of physically attacking Julie, which I did not do, period. And it's causing problems. I mean, that's all you need to say. The note you saw, did you see the note? Here.
I blacked it out because you were right. There's a lot to say about a cooling off period. And, like, it took me days to calm down from that because I was so shaken by it.
Right, but
you were
in that state of mind in that gazebo. You were shaken in the gazebo, and it shows. I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling that way. This is the note that she decided to write out. So, you know, that's the problem. Unfortunately, you engaged the gazebo and the property manager. In my estimation, the property manager is she sees anybody that's showing outward aggression, anger, is excited as a problem. And you were, you know, you and Ron were the ones in that video that were excited, both of you. I'm not saying you're unjustified or not validated, but you have to get outside yourself and see how you're perceived.
You're correct about that. Yes, I agree with
you. And I mean, you know, that's what I think. I mean, I get mad too, Dion. You know, I deal with issues with inept people on the phone with insurance. And sometimes I know I'm not going to get my way. So I just get mad and I don't care, but it's not a good idea because you really do end up shooting yourself in the foot. They'll make notes about you. you know, there's a record then of you getting upset, and then they don't do what you want. I mean, it's just, it's not smart. So, I mean, it's a lesson. It's a lesson. What do you think of the note?
Well, I mean, you'd have to tone it down because you said it in anger, and it makes you look like you could have a fuse.
Right.
That you know, so you have to be a little bit more objective in your comment, you know, and not be so dramatic. I have witnesses and all that. So I think it has to be toned down a bit and be a little bit more objective. Like Kristen said, well, you're just stating facts. And then maybe from there you can get a conference going. But I think your goal is to reach a healthy communication and have somebody supervise it. And so you don't have to hide from people, and people aren't going to be harassing you because they know where the parameters are. So you've got to set some healthy parameters.
Right. And maybe the office can help you do that. I hope so. But, you know, like I said before, they don't have a good track record. So okay. I would put something in that's toned down and, you know, follow up with us. And we got to take this as a call. I don't know if that helps.
Thank you. That does help. Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate both of your time and your advice.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye. Okay, 562. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Yvonne. Come on.
Hi, Yvonne. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about you
the other day.
I was, like, last week. And I thought, God, we haven't heard from her for a long time. She's obviously in the 562.
Yes.
So what? Give us your birth date again, because I don't remember offhand. I think she's had it compounded.
You said what now?
Birth date.
Oh, August 14th, 1984.
Okay. Go ahead with your question.
Do you see me keeping my SSI payment?
Do we see you keeping your SSI payment?
Yes.
Why would you be, well, I mean, why would you be kicked off? You have a psychiatric disability, correct?
Yes.
Are you working?
No.
So why would you be kicked off? Why would you be worried about being kicked off your benefits?
Well, they sent me a paper in the mail saying that they're going to renew it. Maybe, I mean, I have an interview coming up with them. They might kick me off and they might not on the 19th.
It's a letter saying they're going to renew you. They may or may not.
They may or they may not.
So that's pretty standard, right? How often do you have to renew SSI?
I think every year.
Right. And isn't that a standard letter that you get?
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is the first one I got since I've been on it. I've only been on it
a year. It's the first one you've got since you've been on it. So it's asking you to verify your income sources, your what? What is it asking for? Your bank statements?
Yeah.
I mean, I see her keeping her SSI as long as everything checks out. I imagine it does. Are you doing anything that isn't allowed?
No.
Yeah.
Is she seeing a doctor?
Yeah, well,
is it psychological problems?
Well, she has schizophrenia.
What'd you say?
Well, are you currently seeing a psychiatrist or a therapist?
Yes.
Well, can they write a note supporting your status?
Yeah, they can.
Okay, so you just have you accompany your information with his note, and you'll be fine.
Sure you have to, you know, provide them the bank statements that they need and all that.
I don't understand why you wouldn't have considered him doing a note before. Did you consider that, or are you just thinking about it now?
Just now.
But there's more to it than just the doctor's note. It's about income. So they're saying,
what does the letter say exactly?
Well, they're investigating it. They're asking her to send supporting documents. So there's some reason they're asking. What does the letter say exactly? Do you have the letter with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, paraphrase. What does it say?
Yeah.
What is it like? What does it basically say?
Just saying that they're gonna have an interview on 19th, and they're gonna have me have questions for me. That's all.
You have an interview. Well, that's your time.
Uh-huh.
So the interview on the 19th, are they asking to present certain documents?
Yeah, they want me to mail them in, I guess.
What? Are you walking down the street or something?
No.
Well, it sounds like you're outside.
Oh, that's the fan.
The fan?
Uh-huh, it's on.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to look really quickly at why they would... A disability interview is different from a disability interview occurs after the initial application and the disability hearing happens after you appeal rejection. Disability interviews are common. They're not a sign you'll be rejected. They should be part of the process, but it doesn't say for someone who's already on disability what to expect. Because I'm trying to get a handle on why they would just suddenly inquire about your status.
I guess it's something they do every year.
But you said you've never gotten the letter before.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We think you're going to get it. Just hand in the information that, just answer all the information correctly. You haven't made any increases in your income. Your income is what it is. You have a doctor suggesting you still need help. They're not going to go against that. I think you'll be, corralled into the acceptable range of receiving benefits. I would have your doctor have a note and just, if your income hasn't increased, you're going to be fine. I wouldn't be too nervous about the note.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it's always disturbing to get notices in the mail. That's always disturbing.
It is.
No matter what.
It is. What I don't understand is why she says they do it every year, but then she says she's never responded to the application before. So
Idea of it just seems like routine to me, but anyways, these things happen.
If she was on an iron lung, it would be more guaranteed, but there might be a little more gray area here, but yes, we see a positive outcome. Her call dropped. So we have some time to talk.
Yeah, there's two levels when people call in and they're either being harassed or they're being investigated for benefits. People do is they just want to call and get to the bitter end and say, or the good end and say, what do you see? What's going to happen? And that's fine. I mean, we seem to inject suggestions and some logic along the way and offer advice or maneuvers. But the ultimate challenge for a psychic is to say, well, what is the end result? And it appears as though for Dion, we're saying the end result will be good if you have that discussion. If you can get that going, there'll be a discussion. There may be a lot of heated debate, but if Dion's still listening, if she keeps her cool during the discussion, she'll be fine. A lot of people will judge if someone acts dramatic. That's where a moderator will say, okay, you can't handle your behavior.
Emotions, no matter person is right or wrong in their quest. The problem is that if you are deemed to be aggressive or problematic, emotional, angry, then you've got a strike against you, even if you're right. Even if you're right.
Yeah, being dramatic gives a third party an indication that you could get you can get out of hand. So the best advice for Dion is to remain calm in her written excuse and in any discussion that occurs thereafter. And if they attack her or harass her, she could best ignore it as long as she's in the parameters of her rights and her, you know, you don't have to hide from anyone. And if they make comments about you or try to get your goat or something, just ignore them.
I didn't know she had a goat.
Yeah.
Wow.
She has a goat. Uh-huh. She has ashes too, apparently. My ashes. So why wouldn't she have a goat? I would either ignore them or just say, smile and say, well, have a nice day. You know, don't say anything. You know, that's going to frustrate them more than I have a right to be here. And you're harassing, you know, you go after like that. Then they, what they do is they say, oh, look how you're responding, you know, but I'd either ignore them or smile or, you know, just say, well, but it might be the best solution too.
I don't know.
Stand your ground.
I don't know about, I mean, you know, who's going to moderate the discussion? Who's going to moderate the discussion? The thing is too about Dion and her particular situation is she is liked by many people there, or she wouldn't have been nominated and elected to serve as a, I don't know what it is, a, you know, it's like the, her role is essentially in their little town. She's got a title where she's the activities director. She's the activities director on the cruise boat, whatever. So they elected her. So there are people that like her. You know, she's gifted furniture. There are people that have gifted her dog, trinkets, things like this.
Yeah.
And so there are people that like her within the complex. They're just the other... There are some people that feel very threatened by a young person's presence at what was formerly a retirement community. And it's not anymore, but at the time that she was applying, it was a retirement community. So it's a strange dichotomy, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, it's part of life. We run through these things and we have to deal with them, and some of it's karmic and some of it isn't. And so I think too, one of the great solutions to any confrontation is how one works with energy. So an energy source that originates from your own body, your own mind, can assist you in terms of dealing with how to handle a situation. And sometimes if you think positive and you carry yourself forthright, you find that you can sway people to your viewpoints. So there is a advantage to that in terms of how energy can work in any given situation, aside from, you know, skills. Back in the 60s, people would, when they were in arguments, they were trained to say, you know, they would do reflective listening and repeat back what someone's saying. I hear what you're saying. You're threatened, or you're this, or you're that. Yeah, that's right. I am. Okay. Well, I just want you to know I hear you. And let's see what we can do about solutions. You know, and if you have obnoxious people that aren't going to communicate anyways, well, you're not going to get much success out of that. But that's one tactic: active listening, reflective thinking, responding, and then incorporating your own viewpoints while you're giving them the acknowledgement that you don't have to necessarily agree with them. You're just saying you're hearing what they're saying. So what you're saying is this, and you repeat it back.
Active listening.
So that's one way sometimes of setting a stage where there can be some rational level of communication. But you know, but psychics are supposed to be able to cut to the chase and perhaps just see what's going to happen. But still, the, you know, the intermediate variable is how one reacts. So,
right, that is exactly
so,
it.
So, you know, our comments are, well, if you do this, if you do this, you'll
this
get
this is what's going to happen, right. Well, I mean, that was obvious.
But
we
came
to that conclusion. If you have to see the video, but if Dion moves forward in the way that she did in the video and the letter that she originally wrote, not going to be successful. If she's able to internalize what we're saying and present herself in a calm manner, then she'll have success. That's what it is.
Well, in this day and age, everybody has their iPhones and can do videos, and that's how "I Can't Breathe" became such a phenomena statement. And the videos captured what was really going on. I mean, you don't need somebody who was there reporting it. Sometimes videos capture it better than anything. So. If this video is kind of disturbing, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I'll take a look at it.
It's just, you know, everybody's upset except the person that's being, the Julie, the one who's being, who Ron and Kathy said that Dion
jumped her,
Julie. And when Dion asks Julie if she's been jumped, it's in a manner that's intimidating because Dion's upset. That's the problem with the video. So I would not present the video as evidence.
I'll take a look at it anyways. But
what they need to do is gather these four parties together: Ron, Kathy, Julie, Dion, and ask the management needs to ask Julie, did Dion physically attack you? And she's going to say no.
Yeah, okay, so it's all strategy. But,
very easy.
You know, again, we're on a psychic show. So we talk about strategy, but the idea deeper behind this goes all the way back to how we work with energy and how energy, when energy breaks down, when positive energy breaks down, there's usually a heightening of confrontation. And then sometimes violence, and things can get out of hand rather quickly. People accusing each other. There's a great short story called The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, where it talks about mass rioting and people accusing each other. So there's also a great Twilight Zone story about people in the neighborhood being accused of being from another planet, and the neighbors start fighting each other and killing each other.
You mean the one where, is that the episode where it's like,
it's a famous episode.
I think we saw that one.
Yeah, probably. But it's based on a short story.
But it's like everything, it's something that like it's like really hot in the sun. I don't remember.
No, not that one. No, these are just neighbors accusing each other of accusing one another of doing something, of being Martians or something, and they're all out to kill each other. And you know, it's how immediate circumstances start to unravel and set a fire going, to where people are blaming each other for some reason. I can't remember what it was. So, you know, here again, if it goes back to, the policeman shot this guy who had his hands up because they thought he had a gun in his hand, and it turned out to be a plastic spoon or something, or an iPhone. And so he's dead. You know, that immediate energy of reaction that, well, I had to protect my life. What, for an iPhone? You know, if someone is being accused of something, like, you know, you jumped me, And there's no, there's a calmness thereafter. And you're just not dealing with someone who wants to destroy you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, you're going to get it. Then, you know, you have to kind of work with the idea that some form of rational cooperation is going to work at any given moment. But cooperation also stems to the idea of how one deals with tension and how one deals with confrontation. And like in Dion's situation, we always have to be prepared for confrontation. You know, if we just do knee-jerk reactions, we could get ourselves in trouble. So the idea is to train your mind to be prepared for any given confrontation in any given situation. And one of the best approaches, for sure, is to be calm. Human element, you know, we tend to bark immediately. We see something or we're harassed or we see something that's illegal and we shout. It's an alarm system. What we're trying to do is divert the energy. You know, we do that. And that's common. I mean, the idea sometimes making noise works. And, you know, they say if you're walking in the woods, make noise so the bear knows you're there. And if the bear approaches you, wave your hands. Look big. Be threatening. So sometimes it's necessary in the law of survival to be somewhat intimidating and alarming.
Right, but I think you have to pick your opportunities and times carefully.
Yeah, and if you're dealing with a small mob, which sounds like she was, you're dealing with a small mob, or if you're dealing with a governmental mob that's saying, we're going to investigate you, we're going to come to the bottom of this and see if you're going to be given benefit insurance. You know, the best approach is to, like we were saying to Dion and like we say to Yvonne, just state the facts. Be calm and state the facts and don't get emotional over it at the beginning, because that's going to always be better received by a third party. But again, you know, you don't want to be in conflict with yourself, because if you're on high tension within yourself, you're wearing down your vital chakras, you're wearing down your vital energy sources. Imagine if you're, whenever you pull the car out of the garage, if you stepped on the gas as fast as you could, you know, you have to, there's a certain calmness that we have to appreciate so that we actually condition our energies so that they're going to last a long time. I mean, look at this guy in the iron lung. He had to condition himself and accept his circumstances and work with them. And look how far he got. But I'm sure he wasn't having raving mad attacks and being dramatic. I mean, it doesn't appear to be. And look how much you got done. So rage also leads to suicide. You know, sometimes people commit suicide because of depression. Sometimes they commit suicide out of frustration or rage. But it's the termination of life. So I think being calm and rational and thoughtful and considerate of your energy fields and how to work with them is really the best approach. So do we have any other callers?
We don't.
Okay?
No, let's quit.
We should close early today.
I think so, because we've got some.
And move forward. So we will be back on Friday. And everybody have a good time and call us back on Friday.
Okay, everybody. Bye.